verse 1. It's in the Old Testament this morning. How many people want to leave a legacy? Two of us. And all the older people in the room are like, yeah. It's different whenever you're trying. Anybody 45 and older, all the 45 and ups, yeah? When I turn 45, I start to see things differently. I thought I had all my life ahead of me. And then when you turn 45, there is a shift that happens. You're like, you know, I don't know how much longer, you know, I've got. And we start thinking about those things that are coming behind us. And that is called a legacy. Somebody say legacy. Before we get started into the message this morning, we want to welcome our visitors. If you are a visitor this morning, we are having Baptism Sunday. So we encourage you, sit down, take off your cell phone, don't talk. We're going to have the Word of God, and then we're going to have the baptisms right after that. But if you're a visitor, get a card, bring it to the front desk. They got a gift for you. And next Sunday, if you are not a member of Hope Community Church and you want to be a member, we used to do these classes at 9:30 in the morning, and it was difficult. And so what we're going to do is once a quarter, we're going to have our membership classes. So if you've never taken the membership classes, next Sunday after church, we are going to cook a meal for you, and you can stay for 1 hour. Anybody can do anything for 1 hour. So 1 hour from 11:30 to 12:30, we're going to have our membership class next Sunday, and then you can join the Reach team. You can join all these different teams and things like that. So that's happening once a quarter, and it just so happens the fifth Sunday of the month is next Sunday. So join us, membership class. This Monday is our food distribution at 9, our women's Bible study at 9, and then tomorrow night is guys' night. And they had over 20 guys here at last guys' night. It was the first time they did it. I know Ted came back so encouraged. So we want to invite all 18s and up to that. They play games, they eat good food, and then they hear the Word of God and they break into small groups. It starts tomorrow night at 7. Tap your guy and say, it's for you, it's for you. If he's 18 and up, this is for you. Come and be a man. Come and show off your man skills. And then learn the Word of God together with men. It's so encouraging. It's so encouraging. And of course, Wednesday, men's Bible study and Momentum Teens and women's Bible study. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Are you ready for the Word? Awesome. We are talking about starting a legacy and how to start a legacy. We're actually taking an acrostic. Hopefully you know what an acrostic is. You probably can't see it on the slide. But an acrostic is where you take each letter and you appoint to that letter something. So last week we talked about leaving a legacy and the unnamed prophet. We talked about the unnamed prophet. And even though he was unnamed, that he still left a legacy. That people don't need to know your name. They need to know the God that you serve, right? And so we need to know that and understand that. And this morning, not because it's the order of importance, but because we want to go with the letter E. Somebody say letter E. You know, remember Sesame Street back in the day, all us old people. And so the letter E is excellent in all things. And this morning, the name of the sermon is, do you have an excellent spirit? Now, before I get into the Word of God, I want to explain that you cannot be excellent enough for salvation. There's not a one of us in the room that are righteous. The Bible says that. The Bible says that my righteousness is like filthy rags and of the worst kind. I won't even demonstrate what they were actually talking about. But that righteousness that we think that we can have good works and you have enough good works, you get to heaven, you cannot be good enough to get into heaven. In fact, baptism is an outward display of that we have come to repentance in Jesus because of our sin, and that we have put our faith in Christ. This morning, you are going to see people get baptized, not because they're righteous, but because we serve a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who has taken our unrighteousness, our filthy rags, and our sin, and he has exchanged them for his grace and his mercy. That is a free gift. And I can't give it to you, but he can. This morning at the end of service, if you say, I've never publicly got baptized and I want to, go ahead. The Bible says that so many people, remember the Enoch in the book of Acts, and so the eunuch in the book of Acts, and he just gave his life to the Lord, and he says, where can I be baptized? And he just got baptized right there. So we want to offer that to you this morning, but just for a couple of minutes, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a spirit of excellence? I am talking to the believers in the room, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. You are full of the Holy Spirit, and your goal this morning is that you want to leave a legacy for those coming behind you. This morning, we want to talk about excellence. Now, you've been to some things that are excellence. You've been to a place that says, it's my pleasure to serve you. And by that, I know that you all know that that is Chick-fil-A. It is an excellent place. Sometimes I don't even think that people like Chick-fil-A as much as they like the service that comes at Chick-fil-A. You know what you're getting, a good attitude. I like when I go to Cane's and they say, hey, what's popping? Thanks for stopping. What's popping? You know what I'm talking about? And you go through Cane's, and again, you have an excellent spirit that happens at Cane's. I don't even like Cane's food that much. I am sorry to the manager of Cane's. But it's the spirit. It's the spirit of excellence. And I will go to a place, not because of the food is so great, but I love a spirit of excellence. My kids are in a band at Central Lafourche High School, and they have a spirit of excellence. There is a requirement for the instruments that you play. It has to be this kind. Can't be a chinky little clarinet from the Walmart. It has to be this kind of clarinet with this kind of mouthpiece and this kind of reed. And by the time you're looking at your pocketbook, but the band is excellent, my friends. We went to a camp with our kids 3 weeks ago. It's called Camp OTX. I've never been to a camp like this. We walk in, and every day is a spirit of excellence. There was an elderly gentleman, and he had to be over 6 feet tall. And when we went into the cafeteria, they did it right. You didn't wait in the line. You went right and got your food. And this elderly man, who was the owner of the camp, stood there tall, like really tall, and sort of scary, but it was a spirit of excellence. At a camp, at a Christian camp. And that food was good, and the services were good. And then at night, they would have, like, if there was a Christmas night. One night was Christmas night. They decorated the entire campground for Christmas. And I'm not talking about put up a bulb. I'm talking about put up decorations, and the entire campground looked like you were celebrating Christmas spirit. The next night was celebrating the 4th of July. The entire campground changed again, and they put out red, white, and blue. And then we had fireworks that rivaled the Civic Center. You know what I'm talking about? For camp. It was an excellent spirit. We had a ranch night. They took us on hay rides. We rode horses. It was incredible. There was a spirit of excellence, and I will never forget this tall gentleman went up to one of the counselors, and I thought she was going to get chewed out. I was like, oh, goodness, here it comes. Because I'm just sitting on the side. I ain't got to do a thing at camp. I'm just watching. And he goes up to that girl. She's a college kid, and he says, young lady, he didn't know her name because he's in charge and she is not. And so he went up to her and he said, I see your spirit. He said, I see how much you are pouring into those children. He says, that's a spirit of excellence. And then he said this, he said to her, he said, that's going to take you far in life. That's going to take you far. And I thought about that, and I have been thinking about that. And when I think of someone in the scriptures who has a spirit of excellence, I have to think of the man Daniel. I have to think of Daniel chapter 6 and in a culture that is quietly quitting. I don't know if you've heard of this, where people don't show up on time, where no one goes above and beyond, where everybody is checking out and they're saying, I'm going to show up and I'm going to give the least. Daniel, the man of God, had a spirit of excellence. He said, I am not just going to show up in captivity, because yes, he was captive to the Babylonians. I'm not just going to show up, even in the moments of time when life is hard. He said, I'm going to have a spirit of excellence. Why? Because I know who God is. And I know the God that I serve in the way that he is to be represented. In Daniel chapter 6, if you're there, we're going to look at verse 1. Now, Daniel had friends. You probably know his friends. Daniel chapter 1, remember that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get thrown into a fiery furnace. They refuse to bow down to the idols, and so they get thrown into a furnace, and then someone shows up in the fiery furnace as of the Son of God, and they do not get burned. In fact, even their clothes don't smell like a bonfire, and you know it's hard to get next to a bonfire, not smell like a bonfire. And so these kids, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, teenagers, but became men of God inside of captivity, inside of Babylon, and they did not bow down in that fiery furnace. In chapter 5, Daniel, the man of God, has a dream. And he interprets, actually the king has a dream, and he interprets it correctly. And he gives the interpretation of the dream, and at the end he says, and you, king, will die. It happens, and he dies. And this is where we're at in Daniel chapter 6. were set during the reign of Darius the Mede, likely a governor or ruler under the Persian Empire after the fall of Babylon. And Daniel is still in captivity, but he has an excellent spirit. Look at verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius, that ruler, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, like different little bitty rulers. You know what I'm talking about? Like parish president kind of things. It says it pleased them to set up 120 of those to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them were three high officials. Now, you would think he would pick Babylonians because he's a Babylonian of the Persian Empire, but look at who he picks. It says, of the three high officials, of whom Daniel, somebody say Daniel, of who Daniel was one, to who these satraps could give account, and the king might suffer no loss. So he understood, even though he was a ruler of Babylon and in the Persian Empire, he understood that there was a man who was Jewish in nature, who served a God that he did not serve, that had an excellent spirit. And he chose to pick outside of his culture, and he picked the man of God whose name was Daniel. In verse 3, it says this, then this Daniel became distinguished before all the other high officials and satraps because he had an excellent spirit. Underline that if you're taking this notes this morning, because an excellent spirit was in him. Now, we have the Holy Spirit, but Daniel chose at the same time to have an excellent spirit in the middle of captivity, in the middle of dysfunction, in the middle of a place in the culture where everybody is serving gods that are not like Jehovah. Daniel decided, I will have an excellent spirit. And it says the king planned to set them over all the kingdom, the whole of the kingdom. And look at verse 4. It says the high officials and the satraps sought to found a ground for complaint. Now, when you have an excellent spirit, people will complain against you. There will be some noise. There will be some chatter. There will be some haters, if you would. I don't know if you have haters, but when you have an excellent spirit, sometimes you get haters. It's okay. Daniel did too. They wasn't haters because of him. It was haters because of the God that he served and the excellent spirit that he used in all things. So look at verse 4. It says, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. If you're underlining this morning, underline that. So the excellent spirit that was inside of Daniel stood out, and even though he had haters, even though he had people that came against him, they could not find fault in him because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. And these men said, listen to what they said. It said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel, unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Daniel had an excellent spirit, so much so that the only complaint that they could find was if they found it against the God that he served. Now, in the Bible, if you're taking notes this morning, a spirit of excellence is characterized by, we saw this, excellent faithfulness, diligence, and integrity in all that we endeavor. It often leads to promotion and recognition. The spirit of excellence is not just about achieving a high performance, but it's also about your heart and your character behind the actions. So we want to have a spirit of excellence. We want things to be done well. I love, love, love when people walk into this building and they're surprised when they know that it was an old CVS junked out building. And they walk into the building and they say, wow, I didn't think it looked that good. We put a lot of work in this building to make sure that there was a spirit of excellence, that there was something that was displaying the glory of God, because I knew that if we could just have a spirit of excellence in this building, in this place, that people would begin to say, hey, there's something different that's happening right here at Hope Community Church. And so we gave of all that we had. I remember a painting one time. I remember putting a second coat of paint. I remember putting a third coat of paint and my back hurting completely. And I remember the things that we did so that there would be a spirit of excellence, not of laziness, not of slothfulness, not of how much can I get out of. In our culture today, we live in a culture that says, I want to do the least. I want to do just enough. I do that when I'm cleaning. I'm not an excellent cleaner. So I go to my house, and I look at everything, and it's sort of disgustingly dirty, and I'm off of work sometimes on a Friday. This Friday, I wasn't. And so this Saturday, and I look at it, and I do one thing. And I'm like, oh, that one's clean. I don't have a spirit of excellence. Can I get it? Some of you probably don't have a spirit of excellence. But you ever been in this house where the spirit of excellence in that house was cleanliness? I remember walking through my friend's house one time, and I literally ran. There was a glass door, and I just walked right into it. It was so clean. Her mom cleaned the glass door every day. I had never heard of that in my whole life. And so I'm looking at her, and I have, like, smudges, and I'm apologizing. I'm so sorry, ma'am. She's never inviting me over again. And so, you know, and I'm just looking at, because her spirit of excellence was for a clean house. We are called as believers to represent Christ on this earth. That's my calling. I don't do that perfectly because I'm not Jesus, but I can still have a spirit of excellence. I can do things well. I don't have to be lazy. I don't have to be slothful. I don't have to do the least in a culture that says quit. Jesus says, give a spirit of excellence. 3 points this morning. 3 points. Number one, strive to give your best. Try in everything you do to give your best. Be predetermined. If you're playing a game, play it to the best of your ability. If you're going for a team, do it the best. Students, if you are studying, give it your best. I'm serious. How many times do we look back in our future and say, I wish I would have prepared more in that class. I wish I did more. I wish I'd have went to college. I wish I would have. No, do your best. Strive to give your best. The word excellence in Hebrew literally is maged. Excellence means maged. And the word maged literally means choice. So when I'm choosing excellence, it is a choice that I make. You have to choose to be excellent. Greatness is a decision. If you don't make the choice to operate in excellence, it won't happen. If you just say, I'm going to give halfway, guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to give about 1/4. If you say, I'm going to give 2/3, you're probably going to give about 1/2. But if you say, I'm going to give 100% at my job, I'm going to give 100% of who I am. Daniel chose a spirit of excellence. Greatness is a decision. And you have to make that choice every single day. It is my legacy that whatever God has given me, I am choosing to live in a spirit of excellence. Do your best instead of trying to be the best. There's a difference. You can only do your best. I can't be the best. I'm not the best piano player. I know that. But I can do my best. There's a difference. You have a gift inside of you. Each one of you, God has placed it a gift, a talent. You have a work. You have a job. You have a mothering to do. You have a fathering to do. You're not going to be a perfect father or mother. I can attest to that. But you can do your best. You can give your best. And when you get down and you fall down, you can get back up again and say, okay, Lord, I have an excellent spirit. I'm going to be like you. We don't want to be perfect because we can't be perfect as Jesus, but you can do your best. For example, when you go to the doctor's office, most of us in the room would want an excellent doctor. There's not a one of us in the room, oh, he didn't pass his tests? Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about? And that sort. No one wants to go to a doctor that doesn't do their best. You don't want to hear a sermon where they don't give their best. I take this and I take the notes and we prepare. We want to do our best. Sometimes when my kids at night, they'll ask me, specifically my girls, they'll say, Mom, can you pray for me? And I'm exhausted. I have spent the whole day here, or we've done band, or we've done this, or we've done that. And it's 9 o'clock at night, and all I want to do is go to bed because I have to get up the next day and do it all over again. You know what I'm saying? And my little girls will say, Mom, can you pray for me? And I'm going to be honest, sometimes all I say is, Lord Jesus, bless them. Go to bed. Mom, I want you to pray for real. I could do it at church. You know, like the conviction of the Holy Spirit. over my life. I knew that wasn't a good prayer. So then I stop what I'm doing. Okay, Lord, speak to me for my girl. God, I pray. And I start praying the blessings of God over him. And I pray down the fire of heaven. They probably want me to stop at some point. But you asked for it. I'm going to give you the best prayer. I'm going to be excellent in what I do. I'm exhausted. But here I am. Here I am. Daniel decided that he was going to give his best. It was going to be developed over and over and over again. Number one, strive to be your best. Number two, everybody say number two, be a person of work. You mean I have to work? Yeah, yeah. Daniel was a person of work. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. There is a faith that we have, absolutely, but there is a work to be done. You can pray all you want, but we have to put work into it. Daniel carried out responsibilities. He did the job. He was ruler. He had things that he had to do and people that he had to oversee. Daniel was a person of work. In this culture today, it says, let's not work at all. And Jesus says, that's not an excellent spirit. That's not a spirit. God has designed our bodies to be a people to get up in the morning and to say, okay, let me think how I'm going to plan out my day so that I can accomplish something. There is no better feeling than when you accomplish something. When you, like Miss Tina said, she said, I baked a cake, and then she had a picture of the cake, and it was chocolate on chocolate with more chocolate, and she's excited, but it was a work that she finished and she completed. Does that make sense? And so when we work, it could be baking, it could be cleaning, it could be showing up at school, it could be doing the things that God has given, but Daniel was excellent because he was a person of work. He did the job. Colossians 3, if you look at the boards, Colossians 3 and verse 23, it says this, whatever you do, can I just say this, young people, just a quick blip. Whatever you do, sometimes we stress out on whatever the whatever is. Oh, what college and where career? God just says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So you're not working for your boss. You're not working for the person over you. You are working as to the Lord. My work is to the Lord. I don't know what your work is for, but it makes it a lot easier when sometimes I got to go and scrub a toilet or I got to take care of something that happened that's a little bit disgusting or clean out a van. There is a work to be done, but I'm not working for Hope Community. I am working for my job, which is actually Hope Extreme. I am working as to the Lord. I am working not for you guys. I am working for the Lord, and that's the excellence. God, my work is to the Lord. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. It says this, whatever your heart finds to do, do it with all of your might, whatever God has. So if you're on a team, play for all the might. If you're singing, sing to all your might. God has given us a work to be done, and we are the people that say, God, there's my heart. It's found that to do it. I am going to do that with all of my might. Number three, be a person of discipline. Now, nobody likes discipline. We don't like to discipline ourselves. But Daniel was disciplined. He disciplined his mind. If you see this in the scriptures, it says that three times a day, he would get up and he would pray. He would actually open his windows and he would pray. That was a discipline that he had in his life. I'm sure there were times where Daniel did not feel like praying, but he had disciplined himself. He disciplined his body. Remember that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 1, they wanted to eat everything. Here was the party. It was happening in Babylon. They said, no, we're just going to eat fruits and vegetables. That is a discipline. They didn't eat the meat and the choice wine. They were disciplining their bodies. We must discipline ourselves. There are times when we won't feel like getting up. There are times when we won't feel like putting in 8 hours. There will be times when we feel like it is better just to throw in the towel spiritually or physically or mentally. And yet we have to discipline ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves in all capacities and say, okay, Lord, let me be disciplined. There was a legendary man. I don't know if you like basketball, but I sure do. There was a man, Kobe Bryant. And now Kobe was legendary in his discipline. I don't know if it's proper to share a Kobe Bryant church quote in church, but I'm just going to do it. Just give me grace. Give me grace. Kobe was relentless in hard work. He had meticulous planning. He had an unwavering commitment. Was he gifted? Absolutely. Was he a great basketball player? Sure he was. But the man put in the work, and he was disciplined. And all the other coaches, there would be stories of like, hey, when do we show up at the gym? And Kobe would say 5, and Kobe was there 4 in the morning. In the morning, getting up shots before the trainers would even come in. He would be the best. He would work meticulously at his practice. He earned a reputation. In fact, some people call it the Mamba mentality. It's like this idea that we're going to give our best and we're going to be excellent. Do you know that he also played piano? He spoke different languages. This is an incredible story about who he was. And this is what he said, and I love this, because sometimes we're trying to get to a place, like be a superstar like Kobe, and this is what Kobe says. He says, there are times when you get up early, and you work hard. You're excellent. When you stay up late and you work hard. When you don't feel like working, I mean, amen, you're so tired. You don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway. That is the dream. It's not the destination, it's in the journey. God is producing character in us when we have an excellent spirit day after day, time after time. We wake up and we do the best. When we show up and the boss is going crazy and we choose to shut our mouth, amen, and we don't say anything and we work as unto the Lord. God is developing a character in us of excellence. We have to be different than the culture. Why? Because we are believers in Christ. I have to show people who Jesus looks like. There has to be a spirit of excellence upon me. So, number one, strive to do your best. Number two, be a person of work. And number three, be a person of discipline. But I must end with this, and you can play some music in the background before we go into baptisms. Number four, be loyal to God. See, Daniel was a prisoner in Babylon, but he was loyal to the Lord. Jeremiah had prophesied this. He had said, you know, there's going to be years and you're going to be in captivity in Babylon. And in Jeremiah 29, he even says that God has a plan and a purpose for you. He's actually speaking to these people of that day. See, they had loyalties of all types in that culture, but Daniel refused to change. How do I know this? Daniel's name, when you would go into Babylonian culture, what would happen is they would immediately try to assimilate you into the culture so that you would be like them. So they would give those Hebrew boys different names. Those names you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are actually their Babylonian names. We know them not by their Hebrew names, even though in the scripture, we know them by their Babylonian names. But Daniel, they gave him a name. His Babylonian name was Belteshazzar, which actually means bell, like the bell protect his life. It was like their God was going to protect Daniel. Or even that name could have meant Bel's prince. But Daniel chose not to be associated by that name because he knew where his excellence came from. And he knew who his excellence represented. See, if you live with a spirit of excellence, and I pray that you would consider this message and that you would walk out the room and say, am I excellent? Not to promote yourself, but I would humble myself and I would promote my King. There are a people in this community that are lost. I have never seen the amount of dying and death. I mean, if I'm honest, murder. It's unbelievable to me that this is what we're seeing in our culture today. So there has to be a person of God, and that's you. There has to be a people of God, that's us. And we would say, okay, Lord, when I walk out those doors because of who Christ is, and he didn't die halfway. He didn't say, oh, just a little bit, and then I'm going to heaven. He said, the Bible says, the word became flesh and lived amongst us, and not in electricity, not in running water, 2,000 years ago. And they didn't just go halfway to the cross. They beat him and they mutilate him so that he wasn't even recognized as a man. And they hung him on the cross and he died a perfect savior. He was died with a spirit of excellence and he paid the price completely. That's why we're getting baptized, because he paid the price completely for our sin. Daniel said this, he said, I'm not going to go by Belshazzar, I'm going to go by Daniel, which means this, his name literally means, God is my judge. So he walked around the kingdom. He sat and three times a day in prayer and saying, God is my judge. I'm not going to be associated with the things of this world and my culture. I'm going to be associated with the God that I serve. And years later, the queen of Babylon, she didn't refer to Daniel as Belshazzar. She didn't. In the scriptures, this is what it says. This is how she referred to Daniel. She said, Daniel, who the king calls Belshazzar, but she knew who he was. He was a man of God with an excellent spirit, and she knew that Daniel's name meant God is my judge. That, my friends, is an excellent spirit. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Before we baptize, how is your spirit when you go to your workplace, your school, your family? God is not asking for perfectionism, but he is asking for your best. And there are times, even in me personally, when I spend too much time on my phone at my job. I'm just being honest, right? There are times when I give less because I have a million excuses. But what if we would be a people of excellence? And not only do people in our workplace see us or our family, but the people coming behind you see that. They see that spirit of excellence. They saw that spirit of excellence in Daniel. I got to see that elderly gentleman lead with a spirit of excellence at that camp. It inspired me. It reminded me of the God that I serve. And that whatever my hands find to do, that I would do it as unto the Lord. And whatever my heart finds to do, that I would do it with all of my might. Not for my boss or for your approval, but I would do it for my King and my Lord, because he deserves excellence. Can we pray this morning before we get into baptisms? Lord, we thank you that we can lead a legacy. Lord, I pray that we would be convicted, Holy Spirit. God, and even now, God, within the sound of my voice, that we would choose to walk out these doors and leave a legacy of excellence. God, that we wouldn't just do things halfway or like culture or silently quit or just say, well, it's just my boss, so I don't really care that much. Lord, I pray that we would have a spirit of excellence on the inside of us, that we would do things well, 100%. God, give us your power and your strength to do that. As I was praying, I just thought, if there's somebody in the room that has never given their life to Christ, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, you've never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ, the good news this morning is that he was perfect. Where you cannot be perfect, he was. Where you were full of sin, he was not. And that perfect Son of God went to the cross for you. And he died and he paid the price for your life. And it's a free gift. It says this, it says, it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not even of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And this morning, God extends that gift to you of salvation. With every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you and you want to say, Lord, I want to be your kid. I want to be born again. I want to have your spirit dwelling on the inside of me. Would you lift your hand right where you are? No one else looking around, please. Just a moment between them and the Lord. If that's you with your hand lifted, can we just pray together? Now, you could get water baptized right after this prayer. We see that in the scriptures where people would give their life to the Lord and they say, let's be water baptized. You can do that. But I encourage you when you pray that the Lord will transform you, grow in him, continue in him. Be excellent. For those hands that are lifted, let's pray together. Say, dear Jesus, with my hand lifted, I confess my sins to you. I thank you that you were perfect and that you died on the cross for me. Today I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Today I choose you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that forgives me, that cleanses me, and allows me to walk with you. Today, would you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you've done that this morning, the Bible says the angels in heaven are rejoicing. There is a sinner that came and repented, and they're throwing a party. Continue in that walk. In Jesus' name, we're going to open up the baptisms. We're not going to put a microphone next to the baptism. We ask that you would stay. It's just a public declaration of these. We're going to pray over each one of them. They're going to share their testimonies of just how the Lord moved in their life. But we're going to do a work in them and see what God has done.